Yes, we can start. Can everybody hear me? Yep, I take the lack of no's as a yes. I'm Tom Judge, and I'm going to be talking to you about role-based package management. I'm going to be skipping over some of the fundamentals of role-based systems management. It's not too difficult, so if you haven't used a system that does it, you won't be missing very much. And a few of the guys at the back there will be able to tell you about it as well. So, So previously when I wrote the system that I'm talking about, I was a senior network architect with Mintel. We had, on average, about 1,000 systems in the systems management system. And most of them were FreeBSD. We had maybe 2 to 3 Windows servers per physical site. Since I wrote this, I've moved position. Now I do no systems management at all. So participation is required. How many of you guys have more than 5 FreeBSD boxes? How many of you have got an automated deployment system for those? binary or build world, install world types? Is it like do you use FTP images or?
Does PXE booting count?
Depends what you do after you boot.
That's it. That's all they have to do.
Okay. How many of you use a systems configuration management tool like CF Engine or Puppet? Yeah. How many of you use a homegrown tool? Or a combination of the above? So, I guess, how many boxes do you guys have?
Doesn't tell us anything.
10, 15, 60? Over 100? Uh-huh. How do you guys install ports? Make install? Package out. You build your own packages, or you just use the FreeBSD ones?
A mix.
I use a Tinderbox that gets refreshed by laying in the ZFS snapshot, so that I've got a fresh build environment every time, and then just store packages in a single repository with all the other boxes referred to.
This is basically very similar to what this does, except you'll see why it's different. So the aim of the system is for you to be able to build a binary package. We're talking mostly about ports here. You can do crazy things if you want to with bits of world to package them. It's been done. Install it on multiple systems and possibly have non-standard options that the FreeBSD.org build servers don't compile for. And possibly install the same package on different machines with different option sets if you need to. Which works quite well. Like, some of you might want PHP in just the CLI. Some of your servers might need the Apache module. So you don't necessarily want that everywhere because you don't want Apache on everything. You want to save time building, installing, and updating and managing those ports going forward. So you don't want to have to spend an hour compiling Apache on every box. You don't want to spend the electricity on that. You don't want to manage those builds. You don't want to. You just don't want to do it. It's bad. And we want a centralized way of managing what servers get what packages in a flexible but structured way. Under the hood, we're just going to use a standard relational database. We're going to use Tinderbox because it's pretty awesome at what it does. Why reinvent the wheel when there's something that does it for you? An automation tool can be cron, or it can be Puppet, CF Engine, your homegrown scripts, just something to trigger this thing to run, really. If you're using CF Engine and Puppet, you can extend your roles into the configuration file management space, which you don't really want to do with packages. We need a web server or some web servers to serve the packages from, and we need some scripts, which the pmanager system is, to manage the database and install the packages and things like that. It's the basic system architecture. That's supposed to be you, kind of controlling your systems. The pmanager system interacts with Tinderbox database directly, so it needs read access to that, and so do the agents, so they can work out what the builds are. And the then we just push all of our packages out onto web servers for you to install using standard package add minus R internally to the agent. It's quite simple, but it took some time to get the design right. It's been set through several iterations. The basic components that we have, we're going to have a ports tree, obviously, because we need a definition of what we want to build and what we want to install. We need a build, which is going to be FreeBSD 8.2 on AMD 64 or on Spark or whatever you're deploying to. Tinderbox now can build for multiple platforms, so you can create an AMD 64 build host and build both AMD 64 and i386 packages on it, which works surprisingly well once you kick Tinderbox into doing it properly. We have the package, which is going to be a build of a port with a certain set of options that are required for that package to operate, and a server, a jail, a VM, full FreeBSD box, whatever you want it to be, just an instance of package management on a node. So a role is a group of services required to perform a function, so a web server, a mail server, a database server. You need, in a web server, you may need multiple services for that to operate. In Lars's case, you probably need 7 different proxy servers and Apache and Zope and Plone and all sorts of other magic to make that go. And you want to build all of that into a deployable function, a unit of deployable software. That you want, you say, I want all of this on these servers. And then you put hosts in the roles so that they get those packages to do the service. This is kind of the spec of a build host that I would use if you want to churn through a decent amount of packages in a decent amount of time. Dual core CPU, depending whether you're using the latest version of Tinderbox, you can do parallel builds in different build sets. So you can build i386 and AMD 64 at the same time. So if you've got more CPUs equals more builds, basically. Decent amount of RAM, 4 gigs is probably enough, but more is better. And decent disk subsystem, because Tinderbox is very I/O intensive when it does its job. So, you're going to need some mirrors. If you have more than one site, you're going to want to mirror this on, mirror the package sets over to the sites that your servers run at. We had 7 sites, so we had 2 web servers per site with the packages on them, and we had a CARP interface. So if one of those package servers went down, we could always just get to another one. And they used every server had the same configuration with a localized domain name, because they were all in different subdomains. So we just had the package server.chicago, package server.london, package server.tokyo. And then they just all had package server in their config, and their resolve.conf resolved that to the local site. It'll probably take you a day or two to set the system up as well and get everything in it if you haven't done it before. So the build host needs to be the highest version, the latest version of FreeBSD for all of the systems you want to build for. So if you're building for 8.2 and 7.4, then the build host needs to run 8.2 or 8.3 or 9. Need some packages. You guys can probably install packages. At the moment, it's all in SVN. It's not very big. I should probably write a port for it. It's just not had eno time. It will probably come soon if people want to use it. On that note, I need a maintainer if anybody wants to maintain it going forward, so I can move it on to SourceForge or whatever people want for that. Simple stuff. Set up database. Do the grants. This is designed mostly as a tutorial. I have a tutorial on my website as well. I'll give you the link at the end. We need to go through, set up the database. We need to create some build environments in Tinderbox. Tinderbox users will probably recognize these commands. I don't want to build my jails because I'm just deploying standard FreeBSD releases, so I just fetch from the FTP servers. We need a ports tree. Up to you how you set up fetching that ports tree. CSUP, snapshot, user updates. You probably use a user custom script with ZFS snapshots to grab that. Yeah. Then we need to start playing with pmanager. So the pmanager needs to know about the ports tree. So we have to add the ports tree to its data structures, and then we have to tell pmanager what ports are available so that it can do its various things when it goes and builds them in the tree, so it knows when to add them to roles and things. So if you've used Tinderbox, you'll have to get packages out, you have to have a build, which is a combination of a release and or jail, as they call it, and a ports tree. So we basically mirror that data in pmanager as well, so that it can then interact with Tinderbox. This is basically pmanager controls your Tinderbox. You don't want to, once pmanager is installed against that Tinderbox, it should be for pmanager only. Using it as an admin is probably a bad idea because you're going to confuse pmanager. Options. You probably know about options, right? Anybody that uses Tinderbox use options files? Or do you hack the make files when you build your ports?
I put the defaults that I wanted to set make
color. Okay, that's one way. Option files allow you to customize the build config options per build from Tinderbox. I should probably complete the command for enabling the options. So you can create builds for, so Lars might create a build for his Fortune 500 company with one set of options for all his things, and then for his other company, he'd create another stack with the same packages but with different options because he needs different features turned on, for example. He might need different backends in Nix. He might in Nginx. He might need different Python options for the different implementations. One of them might want to use threaded Python. One might not. So we create a directory structure based around the. This thing's useless. It's the top one, right? Yeah. You still can't see it very well. So the directory name here is actually the build name in your Tinderbox. So and then when it compiles a package, it's going to pull that options file in and read it into the environment and set the variables you set there. So what you do in make.conf, you can do with Tinderbox and split it out into a separate file per port. If you need to have the same port with different options in a build, you'll probably want to do a slave port similar to the way the Apache NPM ports work to pull in different options and then have a different package name for the port with different options. So you can package add -r Apache NPM event and you'll get Apache with an event NPM in it rather than a threaded NPM. You guys are keeping up. I guess the main thing you're going to be doing with it is using it to manage your role sets. So you go through some example roles that you might build out. a web server, and a database server. Simple package sets for those. You probably have more advanced, complicated sets. Create the roles. The pmanager command line is very similar to the Tinderbox command line. So if you've used Tinderbox, it should be fairly easy to learn pmanager because they're designed to be a very similar user interface. We add the packages to the web server role, just giving it the build names and the package names. So with this system, we're going to set up builds for 7.4 and 8.2 with the same package sets. And we do the same thing for the database server. Then we ask pmanager to do the magic. This is where pmanager is going to go off, and it's going to ask the Tinderbox what ports are about all of the ports that pmanager has associated with roles and in the builds that it has them associated with. When it finds a port that it doesn't have, it will schedule a build in Tinderbox for you, and then Tinderbox will build it. It will also, at the end of scheduling the builds, it will sync out all the packages to the mirrors that you have enabled, allowing you to mirror everything in one go. So it's just one crontab entry. We used to run it hourly. You can run it however often you want, or you can run it by hand when you make a change. Did I just go backwards? No. Interesting. So it's a random slide that somehow managed to get itself there. Next thing we need to do is configure the hosts and tell pmanager what hosts are in what roles. So here we've got two web servers, two database servers, and a development server. The dev server is going to get everything because we don't want to split it up into layered architecture for development. That would just be difficult to manage. And then we just add the servers, register the server with the system so that it can give it a unique identifier and things in the database, and add the servers to the roles, which is all fairly simple. And again, with the database servers, the next thing we have to do is deploy an agent. Every server that you want to be managed with this system needs to have an agent that runs on it. The agent was written originally as a CF engine module, so it's a Perl script that has the option of reading various CF engine environment variables if it's configured to do so. It has built-in support for a role called no auto package installation, which will disable package management for you on the system. What the agent doesn't do is upgrades or deletions. So if you remove a package from a role, it will not remove it from the servers. You need to use another tool to do that, because the chances are you're probably still using it somewhere and you don't want it to be deleted automatically. As for upgrades, they need to be scheduled within your downtime maintenance windows, so we don't do those in the agent. If you're using CF Engine, it can be taught to do it. I'm sure Puppet can do it as well to do the upgrades for you. The agent depends on a lot less things. We had a bootstrap process that would install these packages for you along with CF Engine and kickstart the build and install the package, get CF Engine running, deploy the policy, and then run the package management agent to get everything else pulled in at the same time. So you could just do a zero to hero deployment almost with everything in it. Again, it's in SVN, a slave port. Agent port will be two files, so I should get around to writing that. The agents need access to the two databases as well. They only need read access, so we give them access to the two databases that we created with netmasks so that other people can't access them. Lars? that shouldn't be accessing them. We would deploy that so that everybody on the server VLAN would be able to access it with these credentials. You need to put the config file in place and teach it about your database server and add it to your cron or system management tool. And now I'll give you guys a demo. Hopefully it doesn't break. Yeah, I did just finish setting up all the VMs in Lars's presentation, so. This is where I should probably put it in mirror mode. Yeah, turn on mirroring. Still the wrong size. Can you guys read that? Okay. Let's see if the lights will do something that's not crazy. Okay. Even better. Right, so at the moment I'm on my demo build system. I have 5 VMs running on here at the moment. I have 1 build host running Tinderbox and the package management stuff. And I have the 2 web servers and the 2 database servers running. And they have the agent scheduled to run every 2 minutes. So if we put something in the system, we should see it deployed to all the hosts fairly rapidly. At the moment, I'd have a few packages, which is just the basic packages required to get the system up and running in the Tinderbox, and Bash, which was my test package earlier. It's nice and small. So I've already registered various things with this, so I can do I only have 1 role right now, so we'll go ahead and we'll create a role. And I'll see that that's been registered. We can put some stuff in. We can then we can put some packages in the role. Something small. Suggestions. How long does that take to build? Yeah. Ports. MGMT port master build set build name to 8.2 production, and we need to give it a role name. You can see we've added that there. If on our 7.4 systems we also wanted to have Portmaster installed, we can go through and we can put it in. The reason it does it splits it up per build is because of things like default package versions. We used snapshotted ports trees close to the time that the release we were deploying was finalized, and that ports tree stayed stable for the duration, the lifetime of the OS build out. So various ports would have different defaults. Like the default Apache port in up until a few months ago or recently was Apache 2.0. It's now Apache 2.2. If you moved your snapshot forwards during that time, you'd probably have problems with dependencies or default dependencies on Apache inside Tinderbox. Tracking ports trees in production is another topic entirely. But then, so we have that. The servers are already registered. Got all the things here. So now we can put the server into the web server role. We'll put just the two, these two servers in. And if we show the role again, we should see what it's in. We can also show a server as well. And it will tell us what roles that server is in. It doesn't know much about the system in terms of what build it's in, because that's configurable in the agent config. So
the agent has some post installation configuration as they go along?
Yes. Let me grab another shell. If you can see that, that's not particularly much. You need to configure the two database configurations if you're running your Tinderbox and your build package manager databases on different servers. Then you need to be able to do that. So we give you two database sections, and then we define what build the host is running in and where our mirror is, so our package mirror is, and whether or not we're running in CF engine mode.
So it can be standard for it. It's machines of similar. I suppose then we go, instead of having unique identifiers, each one to reach machine independently.
You could deploy this to... We would deploy a file like this to every single 8.2 box.
Correct.
Using CF Engine or your other, whatever tools you wanted. We used CF Engine, so. And then you just, yeah, you deploy the package and the code, and the code for this and the config file, and you're pretty much done. Schedule it in cron. Just have it at the bottom there. To run it every 5 minutes. Now we have the role defined. We need to, I'm not running the cron job on the server, so I just need to run that by hand. And I have mirroring disabled. So now in my build here, I should see a scheduled build for Portmaster waiting to be built. And now we can see the Tinderbox is preparing that build and it's preparing the package. Once the build's finished within 5 minutes, that package will be deployed on every server that's in the web server role. So we would see that come up on WW1 and WW2, but not on DB1 and DB2. It will only build things that have not been built yet. So if you look in the thing here, all of these other packages are build dependencies or runtime dependencies for the packages that are in the base role. So if I do... So those are the base packages that I have defined. And that's most of what's currently in Tinderbox. And now Portmaster's finished. So there's now a package for Portmaster on the web server, the Tinderbox host web server, and it's already installed on WW1. because it's already in that role.
Can you freeze something so that it won't get upgraded?
If the package is already installed and you build a newer version, it won't. It will try and install it again, and it will fail because they conflict with themselves. And then you can use that output to work out what you need to upgrade, or you can use an auditing tool to work out where you need to go around and fix that. We had OCS inventory as our feedback loop, and the agent on there would pick up all of the currently installed packages and feed them back into another database, so we could go through that and we could say, right, we need to upgrade Perl to 5.12 from 5.10. Find me all the boxes that have got 5.10 on them so that I can go through and schedule a job on those to have them upgraded. And you could search the OCS for that data.
So if you had a set of web servers and you were to add a new web server, it's also going to run Apache 2.2, but it's going to run the latest Apache 2.2, whereas you might have 2.2.15 on your old ones. Now you've got 2.2.17. Maybe you don't care that the port auto is reporting something, but you do want to make sure that you're going to install everything the same way.
Right. For the other dependencies.
Not just the dependencies, but let's say you want to promote 2.2.17 to your QA environment first, because you actually want to see if your code runs properly in the newer version, and then you're going to promote 2.2.17 to your production environment.
So for that type of work, I would have versioned builds. So I'd have a web server, I'd have a build for a web server on 8.2, version 1. And that would have a ports tree that's set up to have 2.2.15, Apache 2.2.15 in it. And then when I want to upgrade to the newest, to the next version, I'd create a new build with web server version 2. And I'd make sure the packages in that were 2.2.17. And then when I go around to my hosts, I can change the config file to point at a different build. I can package delete everything and bootstrap again. And then I get my upgraded version. Depends on what you have that you're running in that Apache instance. If you've got mod Perl 2, mod PHP, something like that, you probably want them all built against that in case things have changed. Can, but sometimes it doesn't do it correctly. So if you upgrade and then rebuild Apache, it may not find all the things that need to be rebuilt that depend on it. I find that moving the entire ports tree as a snapshot forwards is a better way to do things. And there are two schools of thoughts with tracking ports trees in production. You can either have a rolling ports tree where you track everything, or you snapshot it periodically to get your updates. If you do the periodic snapshots, then you would back port security patches from ports yourself for things that you had needed, that you need.
I do the snapshots as well, but every time a security update happens that's going to affect me, that's the time for your snapshot.
Okay. I had a requirement that the environment wouldn't change too much. So snapshotting a port tree there could cause things to change that we didn't want to change. We spent about a month pre-configuring a ports tree for a build when we were doing this, because we would change lots of defaults. We'd force everything back down to MySQL 5.0 because we had severe issues with 5.1 and we never even got to 5.5 for testing. We would change the PHP versions back down. Recently, we had to change it all back down to use PHP 5.2 because our applications wouldn't run in 5.3. So depends on the type of environment you have and how much stability your application developers require in that environment. So we said to them that for every instance of FreeBSD 8.2, the package versions on that will always be the same across the entire environment. And if you wanted to go to newer packages, then we would package you up to 8.3, and you'd get the packages with that. If there were security issues, then we'd backport those and upgrade them. But we'd give you a month's notice before we did that. It's usually as simple as just extracting the new port over the top of the old one, where the old one used to be. Let's go back to the presentation, if it'll let me. I guess it did. Few important pieces of information about it. A license, it's BeerWare licensed. The important bits highlighted. the tutorial's up on my website. There's some other information there. There's an article on tracking ports in production. For, the pros and cons of all the different methodologies of tracking ports. Snapshots versus rolling. That kind of thing. Contact information. Are there any questions?
Just give people a moment. If you have different, if say you have N servers, and those N servers perform N plus N different roles, so a given server is performing more than one role. That doesn't seem to conflict with anything that you said. Say something's performing as a www server and an MTA and a CVS server and all these different things. Doesn't seem to conflict with anything that you mentioned here.
Well, it could.
If you're doing completely distinct roles like that, where one role's a web server, one's an MTA, one's a CVS server, the chances are that the intersection of the packages in those distinct roles are low. You're not going to find that you need a different version of Apache to run VUVC against your CVS repository compared to your web server, for instance. But in the scenario where you're deploying multiple package sets for very slightly different roles that perform the same function, so you've got multiple web servers that do different things. One of the backend is a PHP backend. One's a Django backend. Your PHP servers are going to need mod PHP on them. Your Django servers are going to need mod WSGI and Python and the full Django stack and any of the other Python eggs that are required to run that site. And we tried, when we built the system, to isolate each role so that the servers only had what they needed on them to perform their job. And to aid with that, we put everything into a jail. So your CVS, in that scenario, your MTA would be in a jail, your CVS server would be in a different jail, and your web server would be in another jail. Anybody else? Your FreeBSD update server should be a dedicated box for just doing FreeBSD update. I've not seen any issues running Tinderbox on the same host as other things, but it's possible that it would be. If you need to scale, then you probably want to run it on SunHost. Then the number of packages that we were building for a release was just around 1,000. And on the hardware that I had access to, that would take 2 weeks to churn through for AMD 64 and i386. So you probably don't want that box doing anything else if you've got a large number of things to build.
Some
We imported the ports tree into SVN. So we managed our ports tree via SVN, and we had some tricks in Tinderbox so that it had a new ports tree target for SVN instead of CSOP. Managing ports in SVN is horrible, though. The tree is just too big for a Subversion 1.6 to deal with in a time-friendly manner. Due to the fact that for every single file, you get about 5 other files from SVN. And there's hundreds of thousands of files in a ports tree. We even had to tune the file system's inode allocations up so that we could get full check out of every single ports tree because there were so many files in the CVS working copies. That allowed us to then go back and keep revision control ports that we were modifying, cloning ports, things like Peckle and Perl and Python ports that don't explicitly depend on one version of their language or another. We would have to clone and make slave ports so that they would depend on a specific version. So if we had a web application that required Python 2.4, then we'd have to run it on a current ports tree. We would make slave ports of the Python ports so that they would request Python version 2.4 rather than looking for the default installed version. Because we would probably want to deploy the same thing with Python 2.6 as well on another host in development or something. Anybody else? Yes. Probably around 50 out of the 1,000. Usually things like Apache, changing the default NPM. We deploy Apache with different NPMs in different systems. Our front-end proxies would run the event NPM, and our PHP servers would have to use the prefork NPM because PHP is not thread safe. And because SSL doesn't work in Apache 2.2 with the event NPM, which they're fixing in 2.4. And then the other thing was just slaving to make sure we had the right dependency versions with those. Any more questions? Doesn't look like it. We're also hiring if anybody is interested. Are you going to be putting copies of this?